Good morning. It's great to see everybody out here this morning. Take out your Bibles and turn over to Isaiah chapter 64. That's where we will be beginning this morning. I hope that everybody here this morning will take their Bibles out and that they will be able to search the scriptures for truth. This lesson here is for everybody, both young and old, non-believer and believer, and I hope that everybody will be able to take something from this lesson. A couple of weeks ago, a man was talking to me about me pursuing my desire to become a gospel preacher. He wanted to know what motivated me to become a preacher and what was triggered in my life to make me want to be a preacher. He said, "Well, I'm just wondering because not very many kids in high school have decided what they want to do, let alone become a preacher." He spoke laughingly. And as I thought about it, I thought, what did make me want to be a preacher? And I remembered that something changed in my life. I had a wake-up call. For those of you that don't know me very well, I was baptized at a very early age. I was baptized at 11. I understood what being Christian was all about, but I never realized how hard it would be to be a Christian. Entering middle school that year, for years I saw myself as a Christian, but looking back, I was not strong at all. I was just going through the motions of Bible studies, coming to church, and my prayer life. It wasn't until last year that something pricked me in my heart, per se, and awoke me from my spiritual slumber. A chain of bad events took place. One of my friend's family members, Dad, was starting to go a little crazy in the head and was about to leave the family. And the kids in the family were at loss. And he was a faithful Christian, but he was about to have to leave the family. Another one of my friends lost his grandpa and was starting to doubt his faith. And to top it all off, breaks my heart to say this. As we know, in the Midwest, we only have about 40 people here at church. And there's not that many friends that I have that are Christians. And one of my best friends told me that she no longer believed in God. She told me to my face that she no longer believed in God. And it broke my heart. That night, I cried for hours. I wept all night, and I was literally sick to my stomach. Crying and wondering, how could she do this? Abandoning God like that. Say you don't believe in God anymore? That goes against everything you believed in when you were baptized. How? Why? Those were the only thoughts that were coming into my mind that night. And the next day, it came over me like a wave of emotions. I had to do something about this. Faced with so many problems, I went straight to my Bible and found so many scriptures and put together my first sermon. And as maybe some of you can remember, on August 15th, 2010, I did my first sermon on overcoming obstacles and taking our problems to God in prayer. I was on a spiritual high for days. It felt so great, studying my Bible nonstop, reading different books of the Bible that I had never had before, praying to God constantly, living the life I should have been living since the day I was baptized. The life I should have been living. Then once again, I had another wave of emotions hit me. It was a huge wake-up call for me, and possibly the most biggest turning point in my life. Why did it take a huge event like that to get me back on track spiritually? Why did it take one of my best friends to tell me that she no longer believed in God to get me back on track spiritually? Knowing that I was living a life worthy of hell, scary for people like my parents, Mr. Jeff, those of you that have known me since I was born, that I was living a life that was sending me to hell. People telling my parents what a great kid they have, but yet the whole time I had all you fooled. I was living the life of a sinner. I was living a life that was going to send me to hell. And for me, that's a tough pill to swallow. Another night I cried realizing how weak of a Christian I was for all those years. From that point on, I prayed to God to give me strength to live my life for Him, to be a soldier of Christ. Since then, I've been constantly studying my Bible, praying to God as much as possible. Let me tell you, nothing feels better to know that you're at peace with yourself and to be one with God. Now, I'm not saying that you need to live like me and change your life, but I'm just saying if somebody that was as flawed as I was able to change from my ways, I know that you can as well. It made me realize that in our lives, sometimes we need a wake-up call, something to get us back on track. Hopefully these scriptures that I've picked out will help you be able to see that you need to be living for God, because He is what is most important for God, what is most important in our lives. That's why I want to start out by talking about living for God. That was the main thing that was wrong in my life before I had that wake-up call. My priorities weren't straight. That was my first mistake, because living for God is what it's all about. If you're over in Isaiah chapter 64, Isaiah chapter 64 and in verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter. And all we are the work of your hand. We need to let God call the shots in our lives and us work around Him. You don't see the clay moving around doing its own thing, but you see the potter directing the clay in the position He wants it to be in. The same goes for us and God. We need to let Him call the shots in our lives. As it says in Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And that's what we need to do. Let God direct our steps in our lives. But it's so simple to read a verse and say that we're going to let God into our lives and let Him direct our steps. As humans, we get caught up in the materialism of the world and money-seeking world that we live in, and we stray away from God. But we are warned about this by Paul over in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't let this world pull you away from God. The world is great and the world is fun, but so is sin. If sin wasn't fun, none of us would struggle with it. That's what keeps us going back to those sins. And that's why it's also so important that we don't get wrapped up in the things of this world. Do not be overcome by the passing pleasures of this earth, because you cannot love the world and the Father. Over in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Says right here in this verse that you cannot love the world and the Father. The two just don't go together. Why get attached to something that is passing away when you could have your mind set on something eternal? He who does the will of God abides forever, as it says in verse 17. Over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship. We are created to do those good works for God. And it's hard to be doing those good works if you're caught up in the things of the world and not putting our time and effort into something that is worthwhile. And that was something that really fogged my mind. I was too busy focused on the things of this earth, and different problems, school, sports, and I wasn't focused on God. I should have been putting my time and effort into something eternal, like my spiritual bank account, living for God and aiming for that chance of heaven someday. I was constantly forgetting about God, though. I wasn't reading my Bible, I wasn't praying to Him, and I was just sitting in church, not really even thinking about what was being said or sung. I lost sight of what was most important in my life. And I needed a wake-up call. I'm so thankful to God to this day that I had one. But the church of Ephesus was warned for this also in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. The people had left their first love. They had forgotten why they were even baptized in the first place. God was no longer a priority in their lives, and they had abandoned him. Over in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Think back to, if you are a Christian, think back to when you were first baptized. I know when I was first baptized, I was so gung-ho. I remember coming out those doors after I was baptized and just smiling. I mean, I couldn't stop smiling. I was so zealous for God. And I think that lasted maybe a whole 2 weeks. And sadly, that happens to a lot of us. We're so just zealous for God, and we want to learn about him. We just want to study the Bible, go tell everybody to go be saved. I mean, come listen to this Jesus I know. Come read about him in the Bible. But yet, it doesn't last that long. Sadly, we get distracted by things of the world. We're only coming to church on Sundays, maybe Wednesdays. We're only here once a week, and we get sidetracked. And it's times like that that we need a wake-up call. But after having that wake-up call, I'm able to see that we need to be living for God every day, 24/7, in everything that we do. In Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Read with me beginning in verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed by the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. You are baptized to put off your former self, that sinner that you once were. Think about that word for a second, renewed. Renewed means to take up or to restore or replenish. In other words, start living for God. That is why we are baptized in the first place. Everything is so clear to you. You know that you need to be baptized and start living your life for Christ. Hopefully, things haven't changed in your life much, that you still have that zeal for God and you still are continuing the striving to live for God each and every day. Every day. Well, Brother PJ, you reminded me all about why I got baptized and why I need to live for God, but how? Give me some scriptures on how. Teach me the how so I can wake up and get my life back on track. Look over in Philippians chapter 2, where the scripture reading was done. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Once again, that's the why. These first two verses, this is the why we need to live for God. And now for the big meat on the bone, starting in verse 14. Verse 14 through 16, this is the how we live for God. Philippians 2, starting in verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. That is how we live for God, not acting like others of the world, not complaining or grumbling, but doing the opposite of that, so that we may shine as lights in the world. So that even though we're in the middle of a perverse generation, so that we can rejoice in that day. That is how we live for God. And now, the next part I have this labeled as, it's time to wake up. The importance of baptism and wanting to dedicate our lives should make you all realize how important it is to live for God and why you were baptized. But it also makes me realize how off I was in my life. I remember how crushed and heartbroken I was when my friend told me that she no longer believed in God. But I wonder how hurt God feels when we break his heart and stray away from him. Think about that for a second. He gave his only son to die for all of us. And when you were baptized, you made a commitment and a promise to God. And when you go against what God says and you sin against him, do you think he's going to have any pity on you? He gave his son for you. And then you promised that you would live your life for him, but yet you turn away from him. Somehow we fall asleep. We get in a spiritual slumber. Somehow we forget about God. How heartbroken I was, but how heartbroken God must be when we turn away from him. Start living our lives and get too busy to even talk to God. Too caught up in the world, and we forget about our first love. How sad God must feel. God has already so much that he gave his own son so that we could have a chance in heaven someday. But we stray from him and fall asleep spiritually. And we know that this breaks his heart because he wants each and every one of us to be saved. Even if you're asleep right now spiritually, God still wants you to be saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 4. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants you to be saved. He wants you to join him up in heaven above. That is how we know it breaks his heart if we're not doing what he wants us to. That is why we looked at those verses earlier about living for God and doing his will. So that in order to see that in order to make it to heaven, we have to want to live for God. Coming to the knowledge of truth. Over in James. James chapter 4. And in verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. One of my favorite verses because it constantly keeps me on my toes. Because as many of you, I know what is right. It says right here, if you know what is right and you do not do it, it is sin. It's simple as that. And we better not be doing wrong and living in that sin. Because eventually we're going to have to go before God and give an account of all that we have done. In Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And in verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Pretty scary thing to imagine, but there is no hiding from God. Even when we stray from him, he is still watching over us. And we are going to have to come before him someday and give an account. Even when, for all those times when we were asleep. That's something that really makes me want to pray to God and ask for forgiveness. All those years I was asleep spiritually. I knew it was right, but yet I was living in sin. I was so lost. but yet I know that someday I'm going to have to go to God and answer for all those things that I've done. Even when I was asleep spiritually, no matter how good I live my life now, yes, God will forgive me. I sure hope so, and I pray to God that He will. But we're still going to have to go before Him and give an account for those things. And how humbling that day will be. When God will ask me, why? Why, PJ, even though you knew what was right, why did you not keep my commandments? Would He be able to say the same thing to you? Or would He look you in the eyes and say, I don't know you? Sadly, about 1 year ago, I would have heard those words. And every night before I go to bed, when I'm praying, I remember Mark Roberts giving a lesson, possibly the best lesson I've ever heard, about Judgment Day, depicting the scene of going before Christ someday and seeing everything that's going to happen and God getting to somebody and saying, I don't know you. Imagine Him saying that to you all those times because you were asleep. And sadly, that was me. I was living a life deservable of hell. And it's so hard to admit it because right now, I would give anything for God. I mean, He's number one in my life right now, but those years ago, He wasn't at all. I was so lost. That is why we need to make sure now that we're doing all that we can to get to heaven. I want to make sure that everyone here is awake. Not just going through the motions, but dedicating your life to God each day. That you may be a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, as it says in Philippians 4:18. I want you guys to be in heaven with me someday. Over in James. James chapter 5. This will be the last verse here. James chapter 5. And in verse 19. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. One thing that I'm learning about as I'm studying to become a preacher in the future, that there's more than preaching and preaching from the pulpit. Anybody can read from a piece of paper. When it comes down to it, preaching is about saving souls. And I want to make sure that I can save everybody's soul here. Because I want to be with each and every one of you up in heaven someday. I want to be there so bad. And I know that I'm going to do everything in my willpower to get myself there. And I hope that the same goes for each and every one of you here today. I hope that all of you have that zeal for God. That you want to live for Him each and every day. As it says in Revelation 21 and verse 23, the city had no need of the sun or moon to shine in it. The Lamb illuminated it. The glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. No sun or moon in heaven because the glory of God is the sun. That will be so amazing, and I can't wait to be there. I want to see that beautiful city someday, and I want to make sure that you are there to see it with me. Maybe you're caught up in the world, or you've lost your first love, and you need to realize that God is most important in our lives. And that is why I want you to change and wake up. As I said earlier about change, excuse me. About saving souls, sorry. I care about people too much. That's my problem. I try to not fall for a girl because I have a bad tendency of getting obsessed with people. So that's why I try and stay single. Because I care about people too much. And I care about each and every one of you so much. And it broke my heart, and I hope that nobody here has to have one of your few Christian friends, like somebody here, saying that they don't believe in God anymore. I mean, to hear those words, it's like it pierced through my heart. To hear those words being said out loud, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say those words, to my face at least. And to have it come from the mouth of a Christian girl, that was one of my best friends, and she still is to this day. I hope that nobody here has to have something like that, an event like that happen in your life to get you back on track spiritually. I mean, the pain and grief I was caused by that was enough to get me back on track, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm trying to do you guys a favor by giving you a sermon to get you to wake up instead of having somebody break your heart. It's so sad that I need something that huge to get me to wake up. And I hope that nobody here has to go through something that traumatic to get them back on track. Nobody should ever have to go through that. Although I'm young, I'm able to learn from my very many mistakes. And listen to me now, that if you need to wake up from your spiritual slumber, now is the time to take care of it. As Brother D. Bowman always says at the end of his lessons, if you miss heaven, then you will have missed it all. And I cannot agree with that statement anymore. Start today by dedicating your life fully to God, being baptized. Or maybe you already are baptized and you've been asleep. You've been living in a way that I was, just going through the motions, maybe not even thinking you're doing anything that bad, but really not living for God at all. You have a chance to make things right and come forward as we stand and sing the song Selected.